kind of looking back to last weekend, I think you turned some heads in a fully loaded World Cup field, skiing quite well in the distance races as well. You know, I'm kind of curious, just coming into this season, what were your thoughts in terms of, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like, you know, I'm rounding out to a more all-around skier, which is manifesting just in two World Cup weekends. But just curious, coming into the season, how you felt.
Yeah, so basically, historically, I've been a sprinter. And that's where I've had my breakthroughs. I've always been, as a young senior, I first took World Cup points in sprint. I got my first top 15s, first top 10s in sprint. I got my first podium in sprint in 2015. And especially skate sprint, and for some random reason, basically altitude has been good for me. So that's what I've kind of always focused on. And then over the last few years, my sprinting, like, I've been focusing on it. I've been trying. Like, it's not as if I've stopped trying, but I've not really been getting anywhere. Like, I just get knocked out in the quarterfinals. I do a good prologue, feel great, and then the quarterfinals, I get knocked out, and like, the days I feel amazing, I get some bad luck and someone trips me up or something ridiculous happens. And then the days when I'm not feeling so great, I end up being third and being like a few hundredths lucky loser or something ridiculous. And I've just not really been getting anywhere. And then today I had a lot of luck. On one point I had a lot of luck and I felt like I was skiing quite well. But yeah, coming into this season, yeah, I'd pretty much almost given up on sprint, like, and started to focus more on distance. I'm still doing sprint training, and I still, like, but this year, I haven't done, like, up until this year, I've done, like, sprint, pretty focused on sprint training. This year, I've only done sprint training on team camps when I'm with James. Otherwise, I just do my own, like, training, which I would say is much more, this year has been much more based all round, whereas in previous years, like even when I'm not on camps and I'm away on my own or at home or whatever, then I'll do quite a lot of sprint focused training. But this year I've only done stuff on training camps and nothing in Classic. No, that's a lie. We did one sprint focused session in Classic in June or July. But yeah, pretty much only skating and only on training camps. So we've done any sprint work stuff. So yeah, pretty much I decided just to focus on not just distance, but all round mini tours, some tours, 15K skate, mass starts and stuff like that, where I can use my kind of sprinting abilities in a distance race, was the kind of thing I was leaning more towards focusing on.
Okay, so one thing I do want you to reflect on, because this is on everyone's mind, and the bottom line is, like, a race is a race, and you race against anybody who shows up with a bib, right? Those are the facts. And there's no asterisks by this third place by any means. You know, you look at the people in the final, and, you know, oftentimes, you know, the French shine here. Pellegrino obviously shines here. It's a skate sprint. Qualified, we're missing Sweden, Norway, and Finland, which is huge. But that said, can you speak a little bit about to that? You know, speak to that, because that would be.
I think if you look at the final, then Pellegrino can win sprints. He can beat Claibo in a skate sprint, and he's often very close to Claibo if he's not beating him. So, worthy winner. Bolshinov again can be in a final in a skate sprint. Gleb is he was bronze medalist in Seyfeld at the World Championships. And Juve, you know, he's got an amazing finish. He's often not so good in qualifying, but then he, like, in the final, I was pretty sure he was going to get me on the, like, I know it. I've seen the footage afterwards. I'm pretty sure I was just worried Juve was going to attack from on the finish straight, because he's so quick on the finish straight. So those four guys are regularly in finals and regularly doing well. So the level of the final was really high. that being said, the level to qualify and the level in the quarterfinals and semifinals, it was easier to get to the final. That's like, I mean, you can't say anything else when all the Norwegians are missing. So and also there's a few Swedish guys who tend, despite what Devin says, tend to be quite good in the sprint. And then on the Finns, obviously Joni Mäki is really strong this year. Hakoa can be really strong. They've got a few young sprinters as well who are quite good. So there are some guys missing, which does make it easier to get to the final. But the level of the final was still very high, is my take on it.
You know, Britain has three skiers that do quite well. And we often obviously don't associate Britain with, you know, Nordic sport, and in particular excelling at cross country. And, you know, we think, or at least in modern times, running, certainly cycling.
Rowing, sailing, those are our main sports.
Yeah, what is it about what you guys have going on that is very difficult to replicate? I mean, I would imagine people would be doing it. You're a small country.
It's kind of like, imagine being really good at sailing when you come from a country with no coast, or like being really good at downhill mountain biking right. When you come from Netherlands. It's kind of like that. Like we do have snow, and the people who come from the areas where there's snow, they do know what cross-country skiing is. Like, it's not a completely foreign concept. There are quite a few people who roller ski. Like, there is a few roller ski clubs and people who roller ski. It's not like completely foreign, but to actually race and actually compete in cross-country skiing, that's kind of a bit like, oh, that's a bit unusual. That's what I think makes it a bit difficult to replicate. The other thing is also, in some ways, like the flight from where I live, in Scotland, where I'm from in Scotland, to Aberdeen, to Oslo, that's a 45-minute flight. That's less than Oslo to some of the places in northern Norway.
You said 45 minutes?
Yeah, if it's on a jet, sometimes it's only a propeller flight, and then it's an hour.
Wow, that's okay. But that helps to put things in context.
Because of the time difference, when I fly home to Scotland, I land in Scotland before I took off in Norway.
Gotcha.
So it's we are connected to snow if you want to be. And from the age of when I was about, I guess, 11, 12, I was regularly skiing on snow in Norway, like at least twice, at least, you know, Easter and Christmas and Easter, or Christmas and winter. We have like a small school holiday in the middle of winter. So at least twice a year I was getting skiing on snow and like racing against kids my age from the age of about 11, 12. And it's not the hardest thing to do in the world from where I lived. So it is possible. But obviously you have to make a few sacrifices, and you have to have a family that are willing to support you. And the financial situation in the world was very different when I was 11, 12 to what it is now. And what became, you know, after the financial crisis in 2008, and then obviously now with coronavirus, things are very different than they were back then. So it is, maybe you have to sacrifice even more now than you did when you were at my age. Or when I was young. And for me, I was kind of, I did a lot of sport, both team sports and endurance sports. But like, I was quite good at swimming, but traveling for 2 or 3 hours in a car and sitting in a swimming hall for a few hours to do a 100-meter race is pretty boring. But again, to go to Austria or Germany and ski on snow, Norway and ski on snow for a week, yeah, that's pretty fun. So it became kind of natural that when I got older and I had to make choices on what kind of sports I wanted to do, and choices on, you know, what I wanted to focus on, then skiing became the easier, more natural thing to choose, the more enjoyable thing. And then obviously I had a lot of friends who were skiing. Like, I've known Andrew since I was 9, I think, and he was 11 when we first met. So we've known each other for, a lot of years now. So when you've got one of your best friends who's skiing, it makes it easier to want to go skiing and do stuff together. And there was lots more of us, you know, there's Callum Smith and Alex Stand and other skiers who were skiing at that time. It was kind of like just going, training hard and skiing with your friends rather than like Yeah. So it was just enjoyable. And that's why I chose to ski. And then obviously in the beginning, like in when I went for the 2010 Olympics, well, I was lucky that Britain didn't really have any skiers. And so the level of qualifying for international events wasn't, I mean, it was, you still had to qualify. It was still a challenge to get the required points and such, but it was easier than it is now. And so that kind of, yeah, gives you the kind of introduction, like, oh yeah, this was actually fun. I got to race at the Olympics, and oh, this is actually, like, I'm not that far. Like, this is manageable. If I train and work hard, I can see how I can close the gap to the best guys. This isn't, like, I can do this. So I kind of, I was a bit lucky at the start. And then after that, I just kept training, kept working hard. And yeah, the way we, you know, we've had more and more support come into the team. The team's become more and more professional. And yeah, the results have improved. Like, I think pretty much for the British team as a whole, every season the results are a little bit better on average. So I don't think we've, yeah, I think, yeah, we just keep going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's really, it's actually pretty inspiring when you look at it. You know, I'm kind of curious, you know, when you see the start list, and I'm sure, you know, 5 days out, you have a rough idea of who's being penciled in for each team. I mean, it doesn't change massively week to week. Were you kind of eyeballing, like, okay, I've got an opportunity here? I mean, I'm sure, like, have an opportunity here, but were you thinking, you know what, on a good day with good luck, good skis, what have you, that there's a podium in Davos for you?
So that kind of comes back to my year planning. Like, this year, the way that I've set up my season was, I wanted to be in great shape from Beitostolen until Christmas. And then I'm not going to go to the Tour de Ski, and through most of, yeah, Christmas time in January, I'm just going to be at home in Trondheim and train and, yeah, be based at home. Obviously, if I go abroad, I have to be in quarantine when I come back, but I can do that quarantine at home, and the quarantine rules, like, I can still train. I just can't meet anyone. So I'm allowed to be at home. So basically, my season plan was just to be in great, as good a shape as I could be from start of the season until Christmas, and then take a training block, and then again for World Champs. So I didn't really think, like, oh, in Davos there's a podium for me. I kind of thought between Ruka, Davos, and Dresden, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, that's 7 races there. One of them has to go well. Like, you can't have bad luck in all 7 races. One of those days, if I just get myself in fantastic shape, one of those days I'll have an awesome race. So far I've had 3 very good races and 1 absolutely amazing race. So far the plan's working.